Hello.
Yo, what's up?
Oh, shit. Yo, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Joe Howard Show, and welcome Mike Langan. Holy shit, dude.
Dude, you're calling it the Joe Howard Show now?
Yeah, you got to see the logo, dude. It's like the Giants logo. I think you're going to like it.
The what?
The logo of my show for my podcast page. It's
dude, this is really taking off, man, because... I had felt you needed a title for a while, but I was going to go with something a little bit more clever, like nobody's talking about nothing, you know, just something to kind of diffuse it before somebody else says it. It's just, you know, guys who know me bullshitting. I mean, I listened to the one where you spoke to your dad, which was nice.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's actually doing pretty well, which I was glad to hear.
Did you notice on that call at all that he wasn't very nice to me?
I did, bro. You know, I think he was trying. I think he suffers from the same, you know, the same struggles that we all have, is that at times you make it very hard to continuously be nice to you.
I think
the struggle is real, and I think your dad certainly seemed to be feeling it that day. But no, in all seriousness, though, it was, you know, you and I really haven't caught up that much live recently, but... you know, from where you had said your dad was to where he at least sounded to be that day, it seems like it's been a pretty miraculous turnaround. Hopefully his spirit stays on the upswing, because, you know, after going through what he went through, that's pretty important stuff. So I was glad to hear that.
Dude, I totally appreciate that. But let me give my millions of listeners a little background. And a lot of people who listen to this know you. But, dude, I got to tell you, I've never met anybody that has caused more of a chaos and uproar when it comes to, like, who is this guy? He's fucking hilarious. Mike Langan, to me, is one of those guys who just, I mean, dude, you have actually... done some of the most brilliant shit, and people just call me up to rag on me about what you've said about me on Facebook, which is, dude, and I take it, but dude, I gotta tell you, man, hands down one of the funniest dudes I know. I mean, straight up, dude.
I agree. I don't know that I'm currently polling in all segments of the Facebook population as you know, there being favorability there, but I'm always trying to be funny. But if I could say one thing, I would say that I'm always trying to be funny. I think certain people at times read me as being mean, and maybe sometimes, you know, it borders on that. But, you know, I'm never trying to hurt anyone's feelings or to, you know, to cause any rifts or wars or whatever. But, you know, I also realize, I mean, I think I was a little bit more sensitive about it years ago. You know, I guess, you know, when the hell did Facebook start? Like 08,
yeah,
09,
something like that.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah,
it's been a while. You know, and I think in the beginning, you know, I won't mention the guy's name on here, but, you know, I had a buddy I went to high school with the one year I went to Cedar Ridge, actually, who was like a really good friend of mine, you know, like vacation, shore houses and stuff. And he and I had actually connected via LinkedIn, you know, which actually, when you think about it, Facebook probably stole the whole fucking thing from LinkedIn. You know, they just, you know, they looked at it and said, wow, you know, it's a... way for professionals to hook up and stay connected, and they just kind of made it a social element. So maybe Zuckerberg's not that fucking brilliant after
all.
He is,
dude. He took Friendster. Remember Friendster back in the day? He took that and LinkedIn, and there's Facebook.
Yeah, I remember the name Friendster. I just, you know, I don't think, you know, I always worked in the technology field, you know, in my career. I was just never that technical in my personal life. Like, I just never gave a shit. And honestly, it's not that I wouldn't be on Facebook now, but the real way I got on Facebook was they organized my reunion through Facebook. So I think they used to have like classmates.com or some bullshit. And, you know, then one of the girls who was setting it up, you know, pinged me or sent me an invite or some bullshit. And I ended up registering for it. And then I think the next day I went on and signed on, and I had like, you know, 100, you know, fake, you know, friend requests from people I hadn't seen in 20 years. So, you know, it's great. Don't get me wrong. But I guess my point is, when I first started, you know, you'd say things and people would take them the wrong way, and you'd know that they did because they drop you or they block you or they drop and block you. I mean, that's a move I've had several people do, and, you know, I get it. It's, you know, it's not for everybody, you know, and that's the, you know, the part where, you know, I've had to make my own skin thicker and say, you know what, you know your true intentions when you write something is not to hurt somebody's feelings. So if, you know, you've been friends with somebody for 20 plus years or 25 plus years, and they're going to just cut you out of their life over one comment or a couple of comments without picking up the phone and, you know, saying what the fuck, or, you know, inboxing you and asking you what the fuck.
Exactly.
Because typically if somebody, you know, like if even you, I mean, even though, you know, you seem to be one of my favorite targets, because you do put yourself out there. I mean, you have to admit, though, you kind of invite a lot of it yourself. I think you do it on purpose, and then you play the victim when it's convenient. But I think you like being the target. That's my Dr. Phil fucking Joe Howard breakdown in under 30 seconds. But, you know, some people, you know, I've had people that come to me and say, you know what, I don't want you saying shit like that to my friends on my threads. You know, like where you just break balls a little bit. And I've always respected it. I just said, I don't get cunty about it. You know, it's just like, oh, okay. You know, because you don't know. Some people have work friends on there. You know, some people are going through, you know, relationship problems. You know, I put something on there. You know the guy. I'm not going to say his name on your podcast. But he's a guy who grew up with us in Sayreville. He lives in Florida now. He's a cop. He's, you know, always posting stuff, you know, with him and his son. You know, doing hockey related stuff, and you know who I'm talking about probably already. You're nailing it. But
Yeah. Anyway,
there was something put on there, you know, that he had, you know, something his son had made a project or something about, you know, I love daddy, you know, better than I love anyone else or something like that.
Yeah.
And I wrote, very cute, bet mom didn't find it to be as cute. Right?
Yeah.
It's like a fucking joke. You know, you're trying to be a white person, a good member of the community. You say shit like that. You think it's going to be innocuous. And his father-in-law, you know, little did I know, he's going through apparently a divorce. And his father-in-law, who's still friends with him, basically says, fuck you, Langan. You know, I was just like, you know, there's just certain days where you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to play on my own timeline. And if people want to find me, they can find me there. And that's really where 95% of the comments that I'll make, you know, I have my safe zones, people like yourself, people like Rick, you know, other douchebags, you know, that have no feelings.
Exactly.
You can pretty much say what you want. But for the most part, if I'm on somebody else's post, it's to like it or to make, you know, like, oh, she looks just like you type of generic white person comment.
Yeah, like, you're like, why did I even waste the time to say that? It's not even me. Like, well, this is how I explain you to my friends. Listen, dude, like, this is the one motherfucker who doesn't let me believe in my own bullshit. Like, and that's the truth. And I say, and that dude is consistently funny every day. Like, if you wake up in a bad mood, you might not find him funny, because that's your fault. But this motherfucker is consistent. He does his thing. You know his stick. If you don't like it, I mean, come on, man. You don't have to put a comment. Or like I said, dude, me and you, I think, hold the record for the drop blocks. Dude, we've even dropped blocks. We've even dropped each other. Not blocked, because we still want to see if somebody is going to say something stupid. But, dude, this far in, if they don't know you, it is what it is. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you know, and I've had family members that, you know, just, you know, it went that route too. You know, you just, you know, and actually it was kind of eye-opening, because I get, like, several varied reactions from people. But there was a girl that I went to grammar school with, like, kindergarten, first grade, and, you know, maybe part of second grade before I went to Catholic school. And so we had a mini get-together. You know where the old Buttonwood Manor is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's called like MJ's or something like that, a sports pub. I swear to Christ, half my night was listening to this girl basically tell me that I was the most obnoxious douchebag and possibly the second gunman on the grassy knoll. Like, literally, she you know, she kept stressing how she didn't hate me. She hated everything about the Facebook me. And I was like, well, you haven't seen me in 30 fucking years. So, you know, for you to assume that there's a split between those two people, because you and I have hung out live. I mean, I don't think that there's a gross departure personality wise, whether I'm writing what I'm saying or whether I'm saying it.
Dude, it's not even, it's the same thing. And actually, when you're writing it, I can hear your voice going, dude, what the fuck is the matter with you? Like, it's funny. That's how, when you're writing, I hear how you're saying it. It's like that. So it's no different whatsoever.
Yeah, and it is what it is. I mean, and, you know, not everyone, you know, that you're Facebook friends with is, A, your friend, right? You know, you learn that pretty quick. I mean, you know, you think that you're all friends, but there's a reason that most of you didn't keep in touch throughout the years. It was because, for whatever reason, your connections weren't strong enough for that to continue to happen, because it's not like there weren't fucking telephones and, you know, you could have used the postal service and written each other letters. I mean, you typically go 20 years without talking to somebody because it wasn't that fucking important to talk to them. So it's an unnatural reunion in a sense. And I think, you know, certain people have certain expectations for how you're supposed to articulate yourself, you know, once you hit 44, 45 years of age. And, you know, not everyone's cookie cutter. I mean, my dad, when he was alive, was probably worse than me, to be honest with you, because, you know, he's been dead since 03. And, you know, there weren't as many restrictions on what you could say out loud, you know, back in 2003. I mean, it's, you know, it's almost by the day now where you have to worry about, you know, how far they're going to continue to go with, you know, hate speech and all that other shit, safe spaces and whatever the hell else these fucking queefs are, you know, talking about now and, you know, pushing on college campuses. So I get it. I don't take it personally. And if people, you know, I've always said to people, you know, hey, I wish that you would have told me that something I was doing was bothering you. If it was just the entirety of my page that was bothering you, or, you know, the you know, perpetual comments, or, you know, you just hated how many times I was liking your shit, or, you know, whatever it was, I get it. You know, then, you know, cut bait and do what you have to do. But I would think that there'd be a conversation. Like, you and I had a couple of conversations before I dropped your ass when I had that vaginal moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where I was just kind of like, dude, enough. You know, like, come on, the act. It's kind of, you know, it's getting stale or whatever. You know, I don't remember exactly what it was. But
I know exactly what it was. You're like, hey, motherfucker, I'm tired of your act. That shit hurt me, dude. I remember it was
Well, it almost seemed like on every trail you were trying to play, like, the opposing theory, you know what I mean? And like, to me, if I wanted to spend my day on Facebook going on and shitting on people's ideas, I could jump from fucking status to status, and, you know, at least, you know, I'm not saying drop knowledge on them like I know better than they do, but I could drop knowledge from my vantage point and argue the point they're trying to make. Yeah. And make my day pretty complete doing that. But what I do is I just, when I see too many of those posts from the same person, I just hide them from my fucking news feed, or I just roll my eyes and move to the next thing that might make me laugh. But I try and stay on my own timeline now.
Yeah.
And responding to people who respond to the shit that I throw out there. And I don't mess with other people's pages much. Unless, of course, again, I'm doing the, you know, good white person trying to live in an organized and civil community, where I'll go on and say something about how beautiful, you know, your twins are, you know, whatever it is,
yeah.
You know.
Dude, as much as I love you, I got to tell you, here's my pain. Every time, hey, guys, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. Dude, you got to do Langan. All right, with the fucking Langan, everything. Dude, what's up? I mean, it's like, people, I'm going to say it. I don't care. It's like an obsession. But the best part is, like, if I say something about Muslims, everybody is like, you're, like, all my hippie friends. I'm finding out how many liberal fucking friends I have in California, by the way. But they're all like, oh, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the shooting in San Bernardino happens. And then, like, I just realized that I don't write shit as smart as you. You're definitely smarter than me when it comes to, dude, when you write some shit, I'm like, dude, that's like a press release. That's like a fucking mission statement for a company. But you legitimize a lot of that part of me, so I need you, big fella.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not what you're saying, and I'm not speaking to you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying it kind of generally speaking. It's not what you're saying. It's kind of how you're saying it. And, you know, like, and I don't think you do this, but, you know, on one of the more recent trails, I think it was yours, you know, somebody jumped in and started, you know, calling them goat fuckers and stuff like that. Like, the minute that you start, you know, speaking in broad terms, or, you know, vilifying an entire group of people, or using kind of like ethnic, not, I guess it's not ethnicity because Islam is a religion, but something that's blatantly Islamophobic, or, you know, a broad generalization to the negative, you know, for a group, I think it just turns people off. And even if you're saying something really fucking insanely smart after that,
yeah,
they're not hearing it because you've already shut them down. And I think a lot of people, you know, who have opposing beliefs, you know, whether they're the liberal or the conservative, kind of need to understand that if you're really going to advance your idea forward, you kind of need both sides to see the merit of what you're trying to move forward. So I try, at least, I don't always succeed, but I try, at least, I always try and, you know, make it where it's a little bit factual and it's a little bit funny.
Yeah.
So that there's a hook there, because, you know, most people, like, I've had people come on there, you know, on my page and say, what's with all the, you know, political posts, you know, cut the shit, you know, get back to talking about fat people, you know, whatever the hell they say.
Yeah.
So I always try and make it a little bit funny, but, yeah, I have my opinions on the Muslim thing. It's, I think a lot of people are blinded by hate and rage as it relates to them. And I think a lot of people are blinded by, peace, love, and understanding, and thinking that, you know, this is just such a small group of people that want us dead. And I think that those people, I think that there's a happy medium, a happy middle somewhere where we understand and recognize that there is, in fact, a global threat that this particular religion is in ways sponsoring. And to deny that, I think, is a little bit simplistic, moronic, and to import that, you know, the potential for that evil, you know, during a time of what I consider, you know, to be war. You know, I mean, we are at war with radical Islam, whether people want to fucking say the words out loud or not.
It's horrible.
We are. And I just think that a lot of the things, I think people have a right to be afraid, and I think that their fears are somewhat justified. Now, do I also think, you know, when you think about San Bernardino, I mean, there was 14 people killed, 27 people injured. You know, I don't know how many other Islamic fundamentalist attacks that there, you know, there have been. I know that there was one at a recruiting office, there was one at a military base. But I mean, if you look at the U.S. soil since 9/11, continental, U.S. soil, I don't know that it's rampant. Like when I see Muslim people, blatantly Muslim people, catty corner for me on the street, I'm not fucking ducking behind a dumpster. You know what I mean? I don't think it's to that level yet. So I think some of it is a little bit fear mongering in nature, but you know, I think that there's real discussion that needs to be had somewhere in the middle that gets lost sometimes when you lead off with, you know, these goat humpers or whatever. I think that's the language and the differentiator that kind of turns people off. But who the fuck knows?
Well,
what,
Mike,
do I know?
Here's the deal, man. Like, you know, we both got kids, so of course, you know, you think about it more. You just do. Like, I think people with kids, like the moms and dads out there with kids, they want to, like, they don't want to really take it on and talk about it or think about it too much because they're so, like you said, they're scared. And no one knows what's going on, and you know it's a lot worse than I just feel like it's way worse than people think. We're playing it down. I think people behind the scenes are freaking the fuck out. They don't know how to handle it, and they are a lot of them here. And I know I sound like an idiot when I say this and that about them, but, dude, I'm just like this. Here's my whole thing. If the day we could build a church, a Catholic church in Baghdad, then they can all come here and chill. Like, they fucking hate us. Like, we couldn't get away with the stuff they're getting away with here by practicing their own law. Come on, dude.
Yeah, I don't know where they're practicing their own law. I mean, you read a lot of this stuff, and, you know, I don't know, a lot of the rags, you know, liberal rags and conservative rags, I mean, they've got a lot of, you know, stories out there. You don't know what to believe. I mean, the internet was, you know, it was supposed to bring information closer to people and make us all smarter, and I think it probably did the exact reverse because people just read headlines now and assume they know what the article said. I mean, you get people sometimes who will post shit, you know, just based on the picture and, you know, the headline of the article, and the point that they're making has nothing to do with what the article says. So I think people kind of gravitate towards what validated their preconceived notion on a topic. But, you know, I don't know that I agree with your example that, you know, when we can build a Catholic church there. I just, you know, this is where I net out on it, and I'll try and be as quick as possible with this because I'm tired of talking about fucking Muslims.
Okay.
But I think, you know, the narrative that it's a small subset of people that are radical, I think that's probably a true statement. I think this is where, for me, I pull the bullshit card a little bit, is that when you're at your mosque and you're a radical Muslim, they don't have radical Muslim mosques, right? There's no secret handshake or a slot at the door or a special mass just for the radicals.
Yeah.
So these imams and people who are preaching in these mosques, and I'm not a Muslim, so I mean, maybe I'm using the wrong words, but the people who preach to these congregations, if they're preaching and advancing the doctrine of radical Islam, then the moderates are sitting in there and hearing the same homilies. And to me, if I went to Catholic Church, and I don't intend to, but if I went there and the priest was given his homily and he told me, you know, to be a good Catholic boy when you leave here, you got to go kill 8 Jews, I would kind of look at whoever I was with like, wow, we got to make some fucking phone calls when we leave here and find out what the hell's, you know, up with Father Kelly.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, so to me, it's like this whole secrecy thing around it. And I get it. Maybe they're fearful, you know, but to me, the rest of the Muslim world could show me that they're in the fight a little bit more than they've showed me personally to date. So I think, and I joked about it, that there's maybe 3 types of Muslims, right? There's the radicals. There's the people who have the radical thoughts but lack the balls to carry it out.
Yeah.
And then there's the peaceful Muslims. And I think it's probably like an 80-10-10 split in my mind, you know, where there's 10% of that faith that's just hijacked by these monsters. But they're violent, and they control a lot of what goes on in that region. And so, you know, the people who know better or want to do better keep quiet. And, you know, that's just the shame. So to me, the only way you really fix that is by advancing better ideas and by fucking killing a whole bunch of them.
No, I feel the same way, dude. My whole thing is like, I mean, I keep it really simple, man. I mean, they really, a lot of them, like everything you said is right. But a lot of them, I mean, they're going to get the balls because they see something like what happened out in California. They see that. And now they're more, I think they're gearing up more like, wow, this is really happening and I'm a part of this. So I have to do my part, whether it's a soft target or whether it's going to be them. Just, I mean, dude, like I said, we got kids in the world. I don't want my son somewhere in California and some dude, he gets killed and everybody just sweeps it under the rug like, hey, you know, it's just a separated incident and all that stuff. And how they cover it's very important too. But I just don't think, they don't want to put us in a panic. If they did, they'd be telling us about UFOs. But the problem is, man, I got my worries and concerns, and I don't want to wait till it gets horribly bad. We have to come up with something soon. And that's why I'm excited about Trump. And I know people hate me for that, but I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you know, I would say this about Trump. I post a lot about him.
Yeah.
My fascination with Trump is kind of less political, you know, than it is just, I mean, this guy is a fucking genius. I mean, he's like, not political genius. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, like lead us out of a recession or, you know, necessarily, you know, fix the $20 trillion debt. When and if he takes office, but I just, you know, just as a guy, like you should have him promote your fucking, what do you call this? Your podcast.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude.
Just somehow get this guy to sneak it out on a tweet, you know, joeycrush.com or whatever, have Donald Trump, you know, do something along those lines. I mean, you'll blow it. Dude, you'll be on Sirius tomorrow.
I know,
because,
dude.
Because this guy is just like a master at marketing his own bullshit. And, you know, for me, the most fascinating part beyond that is how twisted his words get, because if you talk to the average person who is not a Trump supporter, they wholeheartedly believe that he hates Mexicans, right? Or that he wants to ban Muslims, right? You know, you hear that all the time. He wants to ban Muslims, and he never said anything close to either one of those things. I mean, so to me, you know that you're doing something right, you being Donald Trump, when people are, you know, there's almost a coordinated effort to completely eradicate your actual message and replace it with one that makes people fearful, right? Because all he's ever said is, we have a problem with illegal immigration, and if we find people here, we need to deport them, and if they want to come back, they have to come back and sign the fucking guest book or whatever he said, you know, go through the process. And on Islam, all he's ever said is, I want to suspend the immigration of people of the Islamic faith until we get under control who it is that we're bringing to this country. He's never said a permanent ban or that we were going to send people who were American citizens and practicing Islam already back home. So for them to distort that message, I think he's a little bit of a buffoon, but my real desire is for him to win the presidency, not because I think he's going to fix a bunch of shit. I just want to see what all of your fucking friends from California's faces look like. Like, I want to be on a webcam when the final election results come in. And these fucking tree huggers are like, holy shit. You know, it's going to, I mean, some jaws will absolutely drop. And honestly, the longer he stays in the race, the more conceivable it becomes that he will win.
Oh, dude.
And, you know, that's the...
it's the reality. People don't realize.
What's that?
People don't realize if he loses, we might have Hillary Clinton as president. Like, I don't care what the numbers are. That's going to happen. If he doesn't win, we're going to be dealing with Hillary. And like I said about my friends, real quick. First of all, dude, there's nothing better than you fighting my West Coast friends. I mean, fighting, but I mean, whatever. On the
who am I fighting with now? I got some guy George Kalazaitis or whatever.
He's a Bostonian, man.
I know. I see that. I can tell just by the way he writes that he's from fucking Boston.
Oh shit! Anyway, these guys are my good friends for years, dude. I met these guys all out in Hollywood.
I think he just told me to suck a dick.
Yeah,
something along those lines. Hold on, I'm gonna because he's a real clever bastard. I want to make sure you see. How about have another dick in your mouth If you can fit another, that is.
Dude.
It's yeah. So this guy wakes up early to think of shit like this. I mean, this is, he's a wordsmith and a guy who's really putting in the time.
Yeah.
And this is on your Eli string, which, by the way, why do you even throw that shit up? On the day that they get eliminated or that their season ends, rather.
Well, here's the deal. I'm constantly, dude, it could be off season. I'm constantly just getting scrutinized by being, but I just tell my Boston friends, guys, let's keep it really simple here. Check it out. You can say whatever you want to say. You have an easy schedule. We have a bad division. Who cares? Bottom line is, we beat the fuck out of you in the Super Bowl twice. So just have a little respect. You could tear anybody else up, but you got to give respect where it's due. I'll say Brady is a great quarterback because he does a lot with nothing. But you can't fucking tell me that you don't respect the guy who fucking beat you twice in the big game. I mean, give me a break, dude.
I mean, not only that, but I mean, if you look at his record in total, head to head against Brady, I mean, even this year's game. And you know, the 18-1 season with the hot, you know, Tyree helmet catch, all that shit. I mean, I want to say it was 38-35 that game.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines where, I mean, we took them, you know, took the game to them. And this year was the same thing. And I think we beat them, you know, the other time we faced them up in New England. So I want to say that Eli is 3-2 head to head in his career. I could be missing a game in there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not all the quarterbacks. I have nothing but respect for New England. I like breaking balls over the cheater shit and all that stuff.
Oh, it's hilarious.
But at the end of the day, Belichick's a fucking, you know, the guy's a genius. And, you know, we don't have our two other Super Bowls, you know, the ones that we didn't win against him. We won with him, right? He was our defensive coordinator in 86, and he was our assistant head coach and defensive coordinator in 1990. So, I mean, this guy has literally been involved in one way, shape, or form with every one of our Super Bowls as Giants fans. So, I mean, how can you hate on that guy?
You don't. I mean, he's taken, honestly, it's like, you don't even know the names. It's like, oh, Vereen's gone, next up. Oh, this person's gone, next. Oh, Hernandez is in jail, next up. And they perform. He gets everything out of him. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you know what it really is? And this is, I think, I might be getting my trails confused here, but I was trying to have an adult conversation with George, your buddy.
Oh.
You know, where he was saying, Eli sucked, he's retarded, you know, whatever. He's only got like four insults that he can sling because the fifth one would require a book and he's not going to buy one.
Yeah.
So he was calling Eli, and all I said was, you know, Eli doesn't draft players. And if you look at the Giants drafts since 2010, and then I gave him statistics, which probably made his head hurt, but I think there were 45 picks. Of those 45 picks, there was only one pick that made it to the Pro Bowl. And 18 of them are out of the league completely. So what I was basically saying is, and I think it's kind of the key to the New England franchise, is that whole next man up mentality starts with your scouting and your drafting of players. And they don't worry about injuries because they know they've got capable backups because they've added them through the draft and through key or low key sometimes free agent pickup. So, you know, that's what makes an organization great. And I'm sure Bill Belichick's got his fingerprints all over that shit, but I'm sure it runs much deeper than him. And I think that's been lacking in Eli's tenure. If you put Eli on a better team that was surrounded by more talent than he's been, you know, surrounded by, Eli would likely have way more hardware than he has right now because Eli's a very capable quarterback. So for people to knock him for the fact that the organization has kind of failed in his career, to me, it's nonsensical, but who the hell knows? People who hate Eli, it doesn't matter.
Well, listen, to make things lighter, when I started this, I heard just stuff. I mean, first of all, just between me and you, me and Greg were building the studio, getting right mics. People are laughing at my first show. And I'm like, you know what, dude? I got to do this. I just want to do it. I've been talking about it for a long time, and a lot of my friends will break my balls. Like, oh, my friend Jamie's like, yo, dude, so what's up, man? Like, I see you started that. What do you think, a week on this one? Like, people really break my balls, dude. And it's cool because they're my friends that I love and they keep me honest. But the thing is, dude, when I'm hearing about, like, I got to hear Langan's fucking voice. I got to hear this guy. I'm dying to hear. I got to put the fucking voice with all the text and all that shit, dude. It's really funny to me because my friend Britt was like, dude, people are fascinated with this motherfucker. Like, people jump up and they get in the ring with you. And it's just, and I'll just text them like, yeah, don't.
Britt's not even on Facebook, is he?
No, dude, he's got like a band page. I think he peeks in every once in a while. He'll kill me for saying that. But he's a huge fan. Like, dude, we got people that, like, you're like the morning paper. Like, they wake up and they go to see what the fuck is up. Dude, I put shit on your, the funniest thing is you wake up to a random Joe Howard picture post and you're like, dude, what the fuck? Can't you do this shit on your page? Or I know I did good when I get the, nice one, dude.
But that's I mean, you've actually had some posts that have hit. Some of them I delete before anyone even gets a chance to see them because, you know, you take liberties at times, I think, with some of the stuff. I won't say that it goes over the edge because it's hard for me to actually acknowledge that there is kind of a line.
Yeah.
Because I think some people would call me a hypocrite if I said that. But, I mean, some of the memes and stuff, like when it's related to race, and I think some people, you know, not that anyone's going to fucking listen to this, because, I mean, I know you say millions of listeners.
Millions.
There's only, like, three people, and we're two of them, right? So nobody's ever going to hear this.
Well, Greg was, like, trying to come in because I was going to record with him and me just so there's nothing hits the ground, and I couldn't get him in on the call, and I'm recording just fine. But I'm just like, dude, people are going to listen to this. People have been hitting me up. When's Langan coming on? When I tell you, I'm not joking around, over 50 people, when's the Langan show? We're waiting. And yeah, there's going to be other
50.
Ones.
50.
Dude.
It's going to blow up at
dude,
50. Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. Dude, you think Sirius is not going to see those numbers and say,
oh,
like,
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm doing it because a couple of reasons. One, because I'm motivating myself to finish tasks. I'm losing weight. I'm doing stuff this year that I say I'm going to do. It's 2016. Dude, my ex-wife, who looks amazing now, it's hurting me, but she's getting remarried. My son.
She came up as a suggested friend, and I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
She looks good. She looks like she's taking, like, a selfie from above.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking about it, actually. I was, you know, I saw that I only had one mutual friend with her, and it wasn't you. So
yeah.
She's obviously... She's cleaning up that fucking list and making the right choices from what I could tell.
Oh, shit.
But I think she's friends with your brother, Mikey.
Yeah.
So I saw you. She popped up like a week or so ago, and I saw the name. I was like, wow, all right. There she is. There's Laurel. Yeah, she is. She's a good-looking girl.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something. Like, she had to put up with my mental illness for fucking 20-something years. So when her mom got sick and she went back to California, I went over there and did the right thing. Like, I took care of her. I just was like, Laurel, look, with the job – with college, helping her. I'm not saying I helped her every bit. She's smart as shit. But the thing is, like, I got her straight. She went out there. She did. I'm so proud of her. And the icing on the cake is her taking me out for my birthday and me introducing her to her now fiance. Like, it's almost like I prayed. I was like, God, just I want her to have somebody. I really do, dude.
Dude, you introduced your ex-wife to her new fiance?
Yes. We were at...
Wow.
Her and her friend, her trainer, and her friend Malene. They took me out into Ventura. Like, downtown Ventura is really nice. We're, like, just bar hopping. And I'm standing there with these three girls. They're all beautiful. And especially her trainer, Stephanie. She's just a knockout. And these guys are lurking over here. And I'm just like, yo, come on over and meet my stable. And they're laughing. And the girls are like, you're an idiot. But I'm like, no, this is Malene. This is Stephanie. I'm like, this is my ex. She's batshit crazy. Stay away from her. And the dude Joe's just laughing and shit. And they just, like, kind of went over in the corner. And they were talking it up. And like, you know, he's got full gray hair. Like, the dude's legit. He's got a great job. I'm not going to blow him up. But, he loves my kids. He's fucking respectful. He's from, like, Nebraska. Super smart. Like, this is – I didn't just hook her up with somebody that's better than me. I hook her up with somebody that trumps me in every way. And I'm not jealous. I can say it. The guy's legit. He's got his shit together. And we started young, and we were all over the place. We did our best. It ran its – you know, I mean – Dude, I mean, it's holidays. What am I thinking about? I'm thinking about my ex-wife, the way the house smells, the way the house looks, her wrapping presents, me not having to do shit except just work and bring money home, and her making the shit work. There was times, things in our relationship that were a fucking home run. And then, but now, like, now I can look back and see them more clear. But when I was in it, I was just a dick. Dude, I was a dick. I got married the first time. I was a fucking asshole. I got married.
Yeah.
I married her again. I was a bigger asshole the second time. Dude, the problem is people can't admit that. I can admit it all day long. I know what my faults are. You want to know? You know what she said to me? Dude, this is brutal. You're going to end up just like your dad. She loves my dad, by the way, and actually has called him. Yeah, dude,
oh, really?
Dude, let me tell you. I am a 47-year-old version of my dad. That's, like, when I went in the hospital...
Well, dude, you're starting to look more and more like him. I mean, with the pictures that I see on Facebook, like, I'm not saying that,
yeah.
Like...
He's a handsome
you know, to like, give you shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of all the kids, you know, you're like his fucking clone, dude. I mean, you know, if you ever want to see the Ghost of Christmas Future... Dude, that's your old man.
Well,
I mean, Jesus
that.
Christ,
people
dude.
People say that, and I don't know how to take it. Like one of my friends, like, dude, you look just like your dad. Like, it's an insult. I'm like, dude.
I don't think it's an insult. Your dad is older, right?
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be. I mean, I'm sure your dad was a good-looking guy when he was younger. He's not a bad-looking guy now.
Yeah, he's 73.
But how old is he? He's 73. Yeah, he's 73 years old. He's not in great health. you know, he's a little bit heavy. I'm sure he's working on that. It sounded like it, at least from listening to your podcast the other day. He was getting pissed off about the food they were bringing him and all that other stuff. So, I mean, he's hopefully finding religion, and, you know, he's going to, you know, get himself well and get himself some semblance of a life back. But, I mean, you know, no, I don't think anyone's saying that you look like a 73-year-old man, but what they are saying is that if you're 47 now, if you put 26 years on, you know exactly what you're going to look like.
Oh,
so what I would use it as, to be honest, is, you know, somewhat of a wake-up call to say, you know what? What decisions can I make now that my dad had no advance notification of and didn't make, so that I don't end up with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and, you know, having all sorts of fucking problems?
I'm all over it, bro. And not only that, like, my only wise-ass comeback to that is, like, I came from his balls. I'm probably going to look like him. Do you know what I mean? I definitely, I'm on the road to dropping weight. Dude, honestly, like, not even making it bad. Like, we're not trying to make it like a Slim Fast commercial, but I'm proud of you, man. Like, I know you had some things that came up and you were posting about, and I didn't, you know, nothing too personal. I was just reading them and being like, yo, good job. And at least you got, like, you went to the doctors, you straightened shit out. Dude, you look great. The picture of you at the game with your friend, like, you look like you dropped fucking 35 pounds. I mean, for real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably, it's probably closer to, you know, who knows what the holidays going on. But, dude, you know, I've been up and down with my weight for the last few years. So I just have to, you know, what I have to really do is, it's more diet for me. I mean, there's, you know, there's certain people who can work out and just maintain and eat whatever they want, you know, like Fingerling, right? You look at a guy, that guy could eat like he's got three assholes, right?
Yeah.
But he's going to go to the gym and he's going to work out and he's going to burn it off. And I just don't have that type of metabolism. Like, when I work out, I have to eat the right foods and I have to eat less of those foods. And I have to really curtail the drinking because, you know, for me, it's very easy. I'm 6'5", you know, so for me, if I'm 240, it's very easy for me over the period of a week or two, you know, if there's holidays in there, to put on, you know, 12 pounds.
Exactly.
Yeah, 10 to 12 pounds I could put on in a fucking heartbeat. So, you know, you do that a couple of times and all of a sudden, you know, you look like a guy who's destined to be cared for by the state at some point. And so for me, it's just like an everyday thing. Like, I go to the gym every morning. It's only 45 minutes, but it's like, you know, I do like, I don't know what the fuck you'd call it. It's like, it's not CrossFit.
It's like
I don't know, like Monday is high impact cardio. Tuesday you lift. Wednesday you do more high impact cardio with more weights, you know, like kind of mixed in high repetition type stuff. Thursday they do legs, which is now I know why everyone skips leg days, right?
Because
legs suck. And then Friday is like kickboxing where you get to beat the shit out of a bag for 45 minutes and, you know, makes you respect guys like, you know, Norleski who could do that shit, you know, all day long. Because when I leave there, I mean, I have to pick like a good arm and steer with that one when I'm driving back from the gym. So
it's
tough, but it's just like one of those things that you have to just figure out, like, hey, if I don't want to die and I don't have anything, you know, I mean, you referenced, you know, some health challenges. I mean, I had a very minor, heart condition that just got picked up during an annual physical, but it's like one of those things where 20 years ago, my dad wouldn't have known he had it. You know, they wouldn't have picked it up. So, you know, I went, they tried a couple of non-invasive procedures to correct it. It didn't work. And then they went in and they did, an ablation where they just basically burn out like a portion of your heart valve or some shit that's, malfunctioning. And now I'm, you know, basically, you know, I'm out of AFib and, you know, I have no physical limitations other than the fact that I'm 44 and have largely ignored my body for 34 of those years. But I mean, I have no, I don't worry about, you know, hey, if I go run today, is, you know, somebody going to have to fucking retrace my footsteps to find the corpse?
No,
you know, I don't think about shit like that.
Well,
because
my thing is, people are like, dude, you know, you're talking about your weight. I listen to 3-year podcasts. First one, they're like, first one, roommate's cool as shit, dude. It sounds fucking horrible. I couldn't listen after 15 minutes. I'm like, all right, man, that's my bad. I'm new at this. Second one, they're like, bro, you know, you sound better. It's not terrible. Third one, I got the mic, and people are like, bro, I can hear you fucking laboring in between the fucking words. It sounds like you're climbing uphill doing the show. And they're right, and that's the thing is, man, I'm definitely, dude, I'll go to the gym and I'll play basketball with these kids half my age for a fucking hour, run it back to back, come home.
Dude, you have to look like Joe Pesci in the fucking movie The Super playing basketball. Like, I can't even imagine you. Dude, unless it's like a Nerf hoop, I can't even imagine why you would fucking venture onto a basketball court. I mean, that's, I know I'm taking like the easy route here and taking like a short guy joke.
I love
but
it.
But how the fuck could you actually, I mean.
Dude, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you, there's two words I'm going to say to you. Allen Iverson. That motherfucker.
Allen Iverson was 6'2 or 6'3.
I'm just saying, the way he puts his head down and drives, like, I'm an outside shooter. I'm a good defensive guy. Yeah. I'm a fucking, I had a guy that was.
Allen
like,
Iverson was probably also 2% body fat.
That's true.
And I mean, Allen Iverson, you know, come on.
Dude, for you to
just pick somebody, I mean, you could have said Spud Webb, too, right?
That's true.
You don't have a 45 fucking inch vertical leap. You know, you're not winning a slam dunk contest again unless the fucking hoop is over a door. It's not happening. So it's just, of all the things that you could have named exercise-wise, like, that's one that I didn't expect
to hear.
When you
think about my basketball game, think about them building the pyramids. I'm one of those dudes just doing what I'm told to do. Like, I know I'm there for the workout. I'm not trying to break out. I'm not getting signed. I participate on defense more. I'm fast still. I got a good shot. And, dude, honestly, like, when you hear kids, like, 25 years old going, dude, you're a fucking warrior. Because I just run back to back. I said, listen, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to fucking die. And I'm in the YMCA, dude. When I tell you, like, they're like, dude, you're sweating like you got fucking AIDS. But I'm out of shape. I know this.
Do people with AIDS sweat?
I hope not.
You know what? Let's think of a new way for
that. Okay, like, I'm sweating like a
sweating like you stole something. I'm sweating like Shaq at the free throw line.
I'm
you know,
sweating like a Mexican writing a check.
Exactly. Dude, so, yeah, something that would actually induce sweat. I don't know that AIDS, as a matter of fact, when I think of people with full blown AIDS, I think of them always being a little bit chilly and under a blanket.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
fair. That's
they're
fair.
Usually the opposite of warm, I think.
Yeah,
and you know, I know you were going for fluidity here, but I just think you have to work on that one. For future podcasts, don't go with the sweating like I have AIDS.
Dude, the best is this. Like, you listen to a little bit of the podcast, dude, it's so funny. Like, your breakdowns are brilliant. Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck. I'm blowing you up. You do some fucking things on point. And I just know, like, I could see your thought process through some of the shit. But the way you broke down my podcast, like, I was talking to Brady. I'm like, dude, it's so on fucking point. I can't even get, I'm just like, yeah. It's like teacher shit. Like, I feel like I'm in a kid in class going, why didn't I just do it that way?
Yeah, dude, I think it's great that you're doing it, man. And I also think, I mean, you're a creative guy. I mean, you do music. You know, I know you've always been kind of like part of the arts community, I guess. So this is just like another way to express yourself, you know. And not everyone, you know what? Not everyone writes shit as good as they can say it, right?
That's true.
So that's why writers make a lot of fucking money, right? People who write books and can tell a story through written words are different than people who hang out in bowling alley bars and can make people laugh by telling them verbally, right? So they don't have the same skill set. They're both storytellers. So maybe you're better in this forum to kind of get your message. And dude, if it goes nowhere, are you having fun doing it?
Dude, it's great. Like, I'm living in the Poconos. It's fucking 7 degrees out right now. I mean, it's so cold, I won't even go to the gym tonight. I'm like scared if my car breaks down, I might fucking die. It won't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting at a desk 4 feet from where I sleep. I got it set up. I think I did it probably, I don't want to say cheap, but I did it so I can understand it, learn, and build. I mean, I know it's not going to be a home run show, the first show. And dude, like, the CJs of the world are like, well, when my podcast comes out, like, now everybody's running out, buying a podcast mic. They want to be heard. All my Boston friends, which, by the way, even George, all the people that we were talking about, dude, these motherfuckers would love you if they hung out with you. But just the fact that they want to go battling with words, I'm just like... Yeah, no on that one. Like, sometimes I got to do the side note. Yeah, dude, on this one, pull back a little. Trust me.
Yeah, dude, you know, I don't go back at people. Like, when somebody asks me, well, why don't you put another dick in your mouth? You know, like, at that point, I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm just saying what he said was dumb. So,
well, you don't know you that well anyway. So, like, because I always say, like, you know, like, what's up? Like, when you first came on the scene, what the fuck's up with Lang? And I'm like, dude, first of all, I'm gonna break it down for you. Dude's 6'5", and he's fucking Irish. And I've heard some stories of just demolition. I mean, yeah, we're all older now, but I'm like, this is a motherfucker that will jump to it. So they just laugh. And I just go, dude, are you laughing every day? And they're like, why do you let him tear you up? I'm like, dude, because he's my friend. Like, he's a bullshit detector. The motherfucker's a truth monster like me. If I'm going to be like that, I can't be a little bitch when it gets done to me. I actually like the Jimmy Uhas's of the world. Like, these are lifelong friends that they've earned the right to say the shit they say.
Jimmy Uhas has been eating you alive lately.
Bro, this...
Like, for sport, bro. I have to be honest. I mean, there's been times where I've just been like, you know, stop the fight. Stop, you know, like...
Yeah, exactly.
But he's
doing a little George Colitis. I mean, like, my thing is, like, when people start responding, like, laughing, he just gets dark. I'm like, dude, you're in DEFCON fucking 5. Like, just, or DEFCON 1. I'm like, just pull back a little, bro. Let me get a word
in. It's all in good fun. But I tell you, I give you credit. You put yourself out there, you know, because Rick and I were talking about this the other day. And I said, you know what? I said, sometimes I do feel bad. Because, like, I'll say something, then people pile up on what I said, and then all of a sudden, you'll, like, leave the trail, because it just becomes 20 of us fucking, you know, talking about how small your dick is, or, you know, whatever it is, telling you that you're 5'2", or, you know, whatever it is, and you'll go dark. And I said to Rick,
I'm in the car usually, like, honestly, I'm not even gonna lie, like, I'll go all day, like, if it's a Saturday morning, I could roll, but, dude, with the way my work is right now, it's so sporadic, it's getting slow, that I'm in the car, and I'm working, and a lot of times up here, I'm out of range, so when I get home, I read it, and I'm like, fuck, I would have totally tore it up on this one, and then I feel like, you know, I even say, like, I'm driving to Philly, everybody's like, well, what, answer me, so that, it gets to be like work, like, you know what, homework, dude, when you open up your Facebook, and you got 35 fucking people that are in your inbox, you're like, oh my God, like,
yeah, I don't get as many inboxes, but I hate when I log on, and there's like a ton of notifications, because then you feel like you have to acknowledge,
it's homework,
you know,
it's homework, bro, there's no other way to say it.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know. Like, I'm not deactivating. I'm not talking about doing anything, you know, overly vaginal or whatever.
Yeah.
But there is a piece of me that kind of wants to spend less of my life on Facebook, because it does become, like I find myself, like, telling my kids, you know, when I'm hanging out with them, like, you know, hey, put your phone down, you know, like, live your life or whatever. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, what a fucking hypocrite you are, man. You're walking around the corner and clearing, like, 10 notifications or liking comments, you know, so that you don't appear rude.
You're in the bathroom. Dude, I got to say, like, to the people out there, again, millions, like, I got it, like, your son, that kid's such a stud. Like, when I look, that kid, he's ahead of his time. I had a blast out there golfing with this kid, giving him golf challenges, and he just, I mean, just for, so you people know, as soon as I pulled up, we meet at a golf course, and I had a mohawk. I just got back from L.A., and Mike's son says to Mike, is this fucking guy for real?
Yeah, he wanted to know if you lost a bet. That's what he asked.
Dude,
he thought that you lost a bet, and that's why your hair looked like that.
I had a great time. I wasn't even concentrating on golfing, because I was just like, dude, this is a fun day. Like, I needed that day. You have no idea. Like, I just got back from L.A. I just drove across the country. I haven't even slept in a real bed yet. I was doing, like, the couch tour. And I'm
he took you for a bunch of cash that day, too, didn't he?
Yeah, dude. He had a fair coming up, man. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. It was a well-timed assassination.
The best thing is, like, at one point, I'm like, Mike, here's 50 bucks. No, 20 bucks. It's a three par. You get it on the green and it's yours. And, like, you looked at me like, bro, seriously, why don't you just take it and throw it in the water over there? Are you kidding me? He's got this. You know what I mean? Just shit like that was just funny, dude. I had a great time.
Plus, yeah, he kind of gave away last year, though, which was unfortunate because, he had more access than he's ever had to play golf. And, you know, he's just at that age now. I mean, he's going to be 15 in February.
Yeah.
And, golf with your dad is fun, you know, when you're 14, but, you know, so is sleeping, right?
And
text messaging. Yeah, you're liking, you know, shit on Instagram or whatever the hell they're doing. So it's not always, you know, front and center for him that he wants to do it. And, you know, I'm a guy, I like to play. So if I can't make plans with you to play, I'm not going to hang around until 2 p.m. to find out that you're awake now.
Yeah.
So he and I didn't play anywhere near as much golf as we have in, you know, previous summers. But he's naturally talented. When he gets a little bit bigger, which he will, hopefully, for Christ's sake, either that or I'm going to have to go back and fucking DNA test him. But when he gets a little bit bigger and starts hitting the ball further, because last year he did back up to the white tees. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but he was playing from the Red Tees the years before.
Yeah, well, actually, when he played, he played a bunch of White Tees. He's like, I could do this one.
Yeah, but that course, that was Concordia. That was, like, kind of short. So I got a regulation course where it's, like, 6,200 or 6,300, you know, from the whites. It's still kind of long for him. Like, the par fives, realistically, you know, he's probably going to be hitting his fourth shot on. So they're not birdie opportunities for him, you know.
Definitely.
Because he doesn't have the length of a grown man or a bigger kid.
Yeah.
So when he gets it, he's going to be hell on a fucking stick, though, because this kid's short game is world class already.
It's ridiculous. It's straight. And I seen it.
It's stupid. Dude, I
got to tell you, man, not to cut you off, but, I mean, you know, of course, this kid, like, when I watch you out there with him, it's really nice. I got to say, because like you said, this is a generation of kids that are not doing what we did. So when I see him out there and he's actually, like, listening to pointers or even challenging what you say, you're like, dude, if I tell him to do this, he's going to do the opposite. So then you outsmart him and tell him the opposite, and then he does what you want him to do. Like, I've seen – you guys are, like, playing mind chess out there, but it was generally nice to see you guys out there, like, father and son just doing that. And you know, you know, when we were crazy young kids, we didn't spend that much time on our dads. We were like, there were moments, but there was nothing like that. 18 years.
Yeah, you know, I did actually. I have to say, and you know, my dad had his own life, obviously, and you know, did his own thing. You know, my dad was a drinker. You know, so you know, he was out a lot. But we did do, you know, there was like a period of 7 years or so when I was a kid where my father just quit. You know, like he didn't go to meetings or anything like that. He just decided, you know, I'm not going to make it like he just woke up. But he had, like, some health problems or whatever. And then there was some shit at his work. And they were like, hey, listen, you got to quit drinking. You know, and it was like, it wasn't like a recommendation. It was kind of like, you got to quit drinking.
Yeah.
And so he did for 7.5 years. And for those 7.5 years, my father became like Clark Griswold. You know, not quite, but as close to Clark Griswold as a Langan male can get.
Yeah.
And we did tons. That's how I started playing golf. Was I played golf with my father probably 4 or 5 times a month when I was a kid. So I was exposed to it early and spent a lot of time with him. So maybe I have false expectations, you know, that my son should, you know, want to be around me as much as I wanted to be around my dad. And, you know, for the most part, he's kind of there.
Yep.
But I think during the summer, you know, he struggles with, you know, it's like, hey, Dad, you know, golf's fun, but, you know, I want to get some stinky finger. You know, I mean, he's hitting that age now where I got to put myself in his shoes and say, well, shit, when I was 15, you know, there were probably days where I was okay missing golf, too, so.
And not only that, like, and then fishing, too. Like, dude, the fishing pictures were world-class, dude, and those posts were killing me. And, like, just to see you, like I said, man, even because I didn't spend any time with you this summer at all. Like, we normally would link up for a breakfast or lunch or something. But it's been a busy time with you, and you're gearing up for something big, obviously. To see the pictures of you and your son with like, catching bass together, like, on a sat. Like, you know what I mean? That shit is nice. I miss that.
Yeah, no, he's good for that. You know, and what I have to do, to be quite honest, is I have to figure out, like, what the things are that my daughter and I can do together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to make your podcast all fucking serious. Here.
Oh, no,
like,
it's
we're turning
all, dude,
this into, like, Sally, Jesse, Raphael parenting fucking episode. But,
dude, everybody's, you know, thinking what you're saying. Like, you take her to go see, like, Demi Lovato, and you're the fucking man.
You know, like, I just have to figure out, like, you know, her and I have gone to dinner a couple times. You know, I'm not big into shopping or whatever, but that's, you know, she just turned sweet 16,
yes,
December 20th. So
she's
at that age now where she wants stuff, you know. Like, I had a conversation with her coming back from, you know, from dinner. Her and I went to dinner, just the two of us, a couple weeks back. And, you know, she was talking about, you know, she gets her license in a year.
I know.
And, you know, she was like, oh, you know, if I don't get a new car, then, you know, I might not even want a car. You know, she's like just testing the parameters,
dude,
of what I'm going to say.
And you live in that area. You live in that area where the birthday gift car comes out. I've seen it, dude. I mean, I've actually, for people that don't know, I lived in that neighborhood, and it's, the rules are pretty much, you look around and there's the rules. I mean, people are, it's just keeping up with the Joneses times 10.
And, yeah, and she actually said, she said, oh, you know, my friend so-and-so, you know, got a brand new BMW or whatever, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, you should see if they'll adopt you. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know what to tell you. But even if, you know, put it this way, if I had the means, right, where I want, you know, where I could very easily without thinking go out and buy my daughter a BMW, I told her, I said, I wouldn't get you one for at least 6 months. Like, you'd have to play bumper cars with something that looked like a fucking, like, the Huggy Bear Mobile from fucking Starsky. You'd have to drive something like that to show me that you knew how to drive and weren't going to destroy a brand new BMW. Like, to me, it's just irresponsible parenting.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just me. You know, if you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And I don't want to put my daughter or my son, for that matter, in 2 years into a car that's going to be some sort of death machine for them. You know, where if, you know, if the car can do 150 miles an hour and it's very tempting to do 150 miles an hour,
yeah,
then that's probably not the car you're going to get. You're probably going to get something with like a paneled station wagon. You know, it's not going to be horrible, but you're going to get a good car that's a safe car. And if you don't want that, then we'll fucking put a basket on the front of your bike, you know, your handlebars, and you could do that. You know, it's up to you.
I'll tell you, you need to do a town hall meeting with all these fucking rich Jewish people and say, listen, guys, we got to, like, all get on. I'm not trying to say we're going to be communists right now, but can we all kind of get on the same page when it comes to first cars? You're fucking killing me.
Yeah, I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I think a lot of the Jewish people in East Brunswick have kind of moved to, like, the Manalapan and Marlboro area.
Yeah, I've noticed that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of Indians now and a lot of, to be honest, not to get back to the original topic, but a lot of Muslims. Like, I did field day for my, yeah, I think I posted about it, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
But, yeah, there was, like, I want to say there were 15 girls that were wearing the full-blown fucking, you know, like, it looked like a cereal box top is what they were looking through. Like, their whole face was covered, their mouth, everything.
It's crazy.
And I just thought to myself, like, how disconcerting is this?
Yeah.
That, and they can't participate. They were like, they were given like some special exemption to sit up there. And I'm just sitting there at field day, like, what the fuck is this? It looks like we're in Fallujah, for Christ's sake. So, you know, everyone's got a right to be, you know, live the American dream and all that stuff. I just wish that there'd be a little bit more, and maybe there will be, and I'll be dead by then, but I'd like to see a little bit more assimilation, you know, like, because when you, you know, when our ancestors came to this country, for the most part, maybe your great grandmother didn't, you know, because she came later or whatever, but they learned the language, right? And they took the best parts of their culture and they kind of loaned them to everyone else. And so Irish kids grew up eating meatballs and spaghetti and chicken parm. Maybe it didn't taste as good as having an authentic Guinea make it, but everyone kind of contributed to creating what is now known as the American culture.
Yeah.
And what bothers me about a lot of these, you know, newer groups that immigrate to this country is that they just kind of keep to themselves and they hold on to their culture. And to me, my thought is, if it was so fucking bad where you were that you had to leave, then why wouldn't you want to embrace a more open culture that allowed you to kind of build something different? That, you know, like, did you enjoy being subjugated as a woman, or did you enjoy the threat as a gay male of possibly being set on fire and thrown from a fucking building? You know, like, you know, to me, it's like certain of the things that were part of your culture back in douchebagistan should have stayed there.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe you should be looking to become part of the American culture. I'm not saying that you know, you should be down in, you know, at Mardi Gras flashing your tits or whatever. I mean, not everyone's ready for that. But, you know, become part of the fabric and maybe leave some of the fabric off your fucking head so that we can see who we're dealing with. And
try a barbecue.
Know.
Try a barbecue every once in a while.
Yeah,
you know,
come to a barbecue. Let me make you a pulled pork sandwich. You know what I mean? Show me that you're willing to fucking, you know, step outside of your comfort zone.
I mean, you've tried hummus. It's the only fucking possible thing they can do to get to, you know, make it up to you.
Yeah, and exactly. I feel like I've extended myself by trying hummus. And, you know, these bastards need to now give a little on their end as well. Well said, Joe. Well said. Thanks for rounding that one out for me, fella.
No problem. Hey, dude, I could probably talk to you for fucking 3 weeks, but, dude, the one thing I want to say thank you to you for, and this is true, like, my brother will take some credit in this too, but you, for the most part, when my family wasn't talking to me, and, like, we live a lot of our lives are very similar, but nobody was talking to me in my family, and I was on Facebook, and it was a thread with me and my sister Renee, and you jumped on the thread, and I think my sister Renee was like, okay, we gotta have to address this shit, because I think she felt like, I don't want to be embarrassed on Facebook. We all have the same friends. We've all lived in the same neighborhood. So, dude, if it wasn't for that and you getting involved and, like, kind of poking around, like, doing what you do, there would have never been a family summit that happened where I am talking to everybody, where we all five got on the phone And we,
you guys had a family summit. Like, did you call it a summit?
Dude, my sister Renee is the most organized person. We called it the summit of like 2014. We all got on the line. We had a call in. We all had a number to call in to a conference call. And we I was in Florida, dude. Like, I was in the Keys. And I'm on the phone, like on the side of the road, talking to my whole family. And we just, dude, we hash shit out the real way. We called each other out. We said what we didn't like, how this happened, what non-truths were there. Where are we going to go? My mom said to me, like, this is classic mom. I hadn't talked to my mom in 3 years, which is fucking pathetic. So I felt terrible about that. Like, I'm like, what kind of, you know, I just felt horrible. So my mom goes, all right, I'll tell you what. We're going to give this a shot. We had three calls, okay, that went on for hours. She goes, the one rule I'm going to implement is you can't go back past 3 years and bring anything up. And everything gets quiet. I'm like, wait a minute, man. I haven't talked to you in 3 years.
Yeah.
So I couldn't bring up anything. But I was happy to be on the phone with them, dude. Like, you know, you're from them. You're not them. Like, they're my family, and I love every one of them. And we spend a lot of time together and a lot of time away from each other. And, you know, we don't see each other every day. So there's no reason to be fighting the way we did or hearing, talking bad about each other, little Facebook bullshit. It was so drama. It made my family look horrible. I apologize to everybody about it. I would make a comment about my sister. I'd have, like, my friend Renee LaFerge, like, dude, you're an idiot. Don't do that shit. Like, I like your sister. Like, keep that shit somewhere else. Like, people were like, honestly, you've done it a bunch of times. Like,
I put it this way. And this will, first of all, I mean, you're welcome, I guess, if I did. I don't really, I think I remember, you know, reaching out to Renee.
Yeah.
At one point and having a conversation with her. But I mean, other than that, you guys solved it yourselves.
Yeah, but that sparked it up. That put the shit like straight up. That put it in gear.
Yeah, but I mean, once you boil the ocean down, 90% of what people beef about.
Yeah.
At all levels of beef, right? I mean, you could take it as high up as you want. You know, the biggest squabbles in the world. When you get down, it's usually a very narrow patch of what happened, and something very stupid that over the years, you know, you put your back up, somebody else puts their back up. And by the time you're 10 years out, nobody really remembers what the fuck happened anyway. You just remember that you don't like that person or, like,
dude,
you know.
That's where it went, Mike. I'm telling you. Like,
yeah. Well, dude, I mean, do you think, I mean, you know, without getting into specifics with my family, maybe you should organize a summit for my family.
I want to.
I would
love to do it.
Well, I am friends with my mother now on Facebook, so I got that going for me. So, I think, you know, I was watching a documentary one time on Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
And I remember, I remember towards the end, like, his mother used to visit him in prison, like, routinely. And I thought to myself, like, man, this motherfucker's mother was driving to see him in prison, and my mother's not my friend on Facebook. You're like, you know, you just start thinking to yourself, like, you know what? I have never boiled a human body part in my life, and shit's not working out, you know? So when you think about it, it's kind of silly that you let a lot of stuff go through, because the way I look at it now, and this is kind of a very cynical view, and I hope your one listener doesn't get offended, but
1 million.
One. Yeah. You should almost, even if you have a horrible family dynamic, unless it's physical or unless one of you are a sociopath who, like, sticks sharp objects into people, you should be able to fake it for the amount of times that you actually have to be in the same room. Yeah. In the course of an average year.
Absolutely, dude. And that's the whole thing. You nailed it. I mean, if people just – and that's keeping it simple, dude. Keeping it super simple. Like, dude, I have something – like, I have cousins and uncles and aunts that are, like, in limbo. Like, wait a minute. I hate that motherfucker because all the shit I've heard about him. But now he's friends with his sister. What do I do? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're like – it's funny. It really is. Like, and you know what? I got invited to a family reunion this year. Like, up here that my aunt does. I got invited to my Uncle Chip's holiday party in Old Bridge, and there was 100 people there. Like, I'm back, dude. Like,
yeah, that's awesome, dude. Well, you never, you know, you deserve it. And your family's, yeah, you have a good. I actually saw Dolores when I was being released from having my surgery at Robert Wood Johnson, and it was like the most surreal moment because I haven't seen Dolores in years. And I wouldn't have recognized her, to be honest. She actually, to her credit, said hello to me. And then I figured out who it was. She was walking towards me, and I figured it out. But, I mean, she was obviously going there to either see Chris or, I don't know, if maybe your dad was in there.
Yeah.
You know, but you could tell that she was probably, you know, operating without a lot of sleep, you know, and taking care of somebody. Or maybe they were both. Who the hell knows? I mean, you know, she may have been bounced between rooms. But I did see her there. I mean, but you have a good family. I mean, Renee's good shit. Mike, I played golf with this year, actually, over at Battleground. He came up. It was me, him, and Fingerlin that went out. You know, he's funny. He's more quiet than you are, much more serious, I think, than you are.
Oh, dude, he punched me in the face on a round of golf this year.
What's that?
He punched me in the face during a round of golf.
You see, but you know what? I almost can understand how that happens.
No,
to be honest. I mean, that's sad, but I kind of can.
Mike, this is a guy who, at Centerton down in South Jersey, hit me in the side with my clubs, picking them up after, as we're arguing after we putt out, with my pitching wedge and my putter, and I almost lost my fucking kidney. I was chasing him around the parking lot with my truck trying to run him down. I mean,
wow.
We've come a long way, but this one, we're up here.
You guys might need another summit.
No, we're okay. I just told him he's on strike too. I love my brother, but I'll tell you, we're golfing and we're drinking, and that's the biggest problem. Both of these things happen. We were fucking wasted, so that's the thing. That's another thing about drinking. I'm stepping back a little bit. I would get in his face. I came running at him. He grabbed me by my shirt, and as I was breaking away, he fucking hit me in the fucking jaw, just a left hook. I started laughing. I go, "What the fuck was that?" He's like, "Dude, I'm creating separation." I'm like, "Motherfucker, I just took your best punch." My friend was there, and he was laughing. Of course, it wasn't his best punch, but I'm like, "Dude, you hit like a little girl," and it was just fucking funny.
Yeah, see, we didn't have any of that drama. We actually just had a nice round of golf. We ate lunch afterwards. It was very civil. Nobody got punched in the face.
No,
it was so. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, Mike in the right situation seems to be able to compose himself, and I think the one variable that changed between the two golf rounds being described is that you were there for the other one.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes you have to be reflective. You have to step back and say, what could I have done possibly to have changed the outcome of this particular scenario? And
well,
I think,
dude,
you know,
I think I hit a shot. It was, and we're like, he's just creeping up on me. I got him by like a ton of strokes. So I hit a shot on the ninth, and it's only a nine hole. And I'm way left, and this motherfucker's doing mental cartwheels. I could see him over there almost. Dude, he should have just said, "Fuck yeah, you suck." It would have been better than what he was doing. So when he was down on his shot, I'm like, you know, just tearing his ass up. And then, you know, he was talking through my shot. It was that bad, so it was going to happen. So he hits a fucking beautiful shot. Hits up 2 feet from the pin. We're 160 out. And I just fucking was like, I'm going to run him over. So I just started running downhill at him. So it was just stupid. But, I mean, it's fun.
I don't remember too much about his golf game. But I seem to recall he was pretty good, you know, kind of tee to green, but had, like, a few blow-up holes, you know, where you could tell, you know, when he had the blow-up holes, it probably, you know, bled over to, you know, the next shot type of thing, where he just, you know, he got pissed off or whatever and just had to shake it off. But for the most part, he got the ball around pretty good the day that we played. I don't remember scores or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good crew too. It was me, him, and Fingerlin. So there was a lot of grab assing and, you know, just fucking around. So it wasn't like we were betting or, you know, playing for money where it was, you know, all serious and all, you know, that sort of bullshit.
Mike,
so,
give me 1 second. I'm going to see who this is, man. Someone's hitting in. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.